Blog Talk Radio.
Poor goat.
Is this the real life? Is this just fantasy? Caught in a landslide. No escape from reality.
Good evening and welcome to Eerie House Radio on this Groundhog's Day. All right, man, tie your mother down. We will rock you because we are the champions. It's a crazy little thing called love, love for old-time radio, and that's why you're here, we hope. We want it all. I think I'm going slightly mad, but we're going to play the game because we got some real radio gaga with stories about Queen. No, not the band, but about queens and not cross-dressers either. So if you want somebody to love, you're my best friend. All right, that's as many titles as I can think of off the top of my head. I'm Dale
Cage. Well, you miss Fat Bottom Girls.
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
No,
I'm Dale Kay from Spook Show, and I'm accompanied by...
Hey, Bigley from Where This Really Bad Movie, and I want to ride my bicycle. I want to ride my bike.
There you go. Get down. Ride that bike. Don't feel like you're under pressure. All right. Count them. Three killer queen stories. There, we got one more in yet. Crisis, Space Patrol, and Suspense.
Absolutely.
Oh,
some good old fun coming our way. Stories about queens.
Yeah, And one more title, A Message to Gar. Keep yourself alive. Will ya? Not feeling too well, so he may be here later.
He may be here about halfway through the show or so, but until that time, he will not be here.
Well, and I'm all, and no one knows if I'm all here.
Not me.
That's right. Queen. There, our very own Queen CW may show up, too. Who knows?
We hope so.
If you're checking out in the slideshow, I made a little card, like a deck of cards, and she's the Queen of Spades. A little plague doctor.
You know what? I thought of including, you know, a Queen story from the cards, but, you know, we'll save that for another card night, yeah.
There you go. I can deal with it. Bad puns are just flying around like crazy.
Yes, they are.
Yeah.
And they don't even have wings. Yeah.
I always, there's a couple, and I also have pictures in the little slideshow flying by, two of my favorite Queen-related movies from growing up and watching the monster movies on the old telly there was Queen of Blood, all right, that was with Florence Marley. She was the vampire space green lady from Mars, not the one that goes Smith, but I think she killed the kid from Easy Rider. What's his name? Not Fonda, the other one. Dennis Hopper.
Peter Fonda?
No, Dennis Hopper.
Dennis Hopper,
Dennis Hopper is in that movie, I believe. I think he's an early victim. And she's like a vampire. And like a hemophiliac, too. They cut her and all this green blood comes running out. And then there's Queen of Outer Space with Zsa Zsa Gabor.
I have to say, probably out of all the B-movies, that is my wife's favorite. Is it? Zsa Zsa Gabor in Queen of Outer Space.
Yep, those I have vivid and fond memories of. But we got Radio Queens for you tonight.
We do. From kids program to not so much kids program. Yeah.
Maybe we should mature as we go along. We can start with Space Patrol in a little bit.
Good luck on that. The Space Patrol.
Yeah. It's kind of late for me and Dave, but
that's true. But that's okay. I'm never going to grow up.
Nope.
It ran from 1950 to 1955, and it was just an interesting type of thing that was going, and it was happening on television as well. And a lot of these space kids shows, a lot of them are going on live on television. It's just a unique thing to think of trying to, you know, it's bad enough trying to do a space, a science fiction story on live television. Doing a space science fiction story would even be tougher. I can only imagine all the bloopers you'd see as things break down and fall apart while they're on live on a, because there's so many moving parts to a science fiction show or a space show, Dale. Mm-hmm. So many.
And it was hard to do and visually, so I can imagine radio being quite popular, because the early like space TV shows are, you know, sorely lacking in the special effects and costuming areas.
But I have to admit, most of the Tales of Tomorrow I've seen were done amazingly well, in spite of the fact you're trying to do science fiction on live television.
Yeah, live TV. Yeah, that was one of the better shows. Seems like the kiddie shows on TV weren't high in quality very much for the time.
Yeah, but
maybe I'm being a blue nose. I don't know.
I don't know. You know, but you got to realize, you know, that was what the boys were tuning into. So it didn't matter. That and Dick Tracy, and they got in trouble for that because the parents were complaining because all the violence in Dick Tracy.
There wasn't enough?
No. Too much.
Okay. Yeah, 'cause parents don't seem to mind anymore. You got your Walking Dead. You got your, your TV can pick up just about anything these days.
Yep.
But Space Patrol has a name of one of those movies that I like almost. Not Outer Space, but The Queen of Space is our title tonight.
Queen of Space, yep. Of course, we got Buzz Corey, Commander Chief and Chief of Space Patrol. Buzz Corey. Why, you know, and that's anything relation to Buzz Lightcore or Lightyear, I guess?
Maybe.
I wonder.
Coincidence? I think not.
Yeah, I think a lot of these things do pay little homages here and there to that. And in Toy Story, I think the name might have partially been a throwback to Space Patrol.
Yeah, I've heard people refer to them as Easter eggs. You know, you hunt for these little things that, oh, that's a reference to this or that. Yep. With a nod to the original thing. But
absolutely.
Yeah.
So I didn't realize they were called Easter eggs, but yeah, that's pretty cool.
I've heard them referred to that in certain circles.
A lot of those are, you can find in those Pixar movies, and it's really nice when you have somebody with knowledge of the old stuff that throws in tidbits here and there, you know?
Yep. And before we kick off our first program, want to give a quick hello to Fogsbane, hi, and good old Bob, hello! Greetings and salutations, wherever you are. Ha-cha-cha-cha-cha. We don't know who Mrs. Calabash is, but we'll find out someday.
Someday, and then when we do, we'll all be disappointed.
That's right.
Yeah, find out it was his cat. There you go, Dale. That's what you suggested earlier. And then everyone will be disappointed.
Cat.
A cat? Oh, jeez.
Hey, I had one named Mighty Joe Young. Why not Mrs. Calabash?
Yeah, unless it was a guy, then that's kind of embarrassing.
Well, you know, could be like Mrs. Doubtfire Cat. Who knows?
Yeah. A transgender cat. Oh, no.
It could happen, they say. over there. The Queen of Space, originally broadcast.
Episode number 7, believe it or not. And this comes to us from November 11th of 1950. And two.
Woo-hoo.
Wheat Chex, Rice Chex, and Good Hot Ralston present Space Patrol! High adventure in a wild, vast reaches of space. Missions of
Double
daring
code.
In the name of interplanetary justice. Travel into the future with Buzz Corey, Commander-in-Chief of the Space Patrol! In today's transcribed adventure, Buzz and Happy have just entered a spaceship in Neptune City spaceport in search of a traitor against the United Planets. They pause in the open hatch a moment.
He may be up forward, tampering with the controls.
Wrong guess, gentlemen.
Commander, look out!
Stay where you are, cadet.
Oh, yeah?
Cardo, put down that gun. Don't try to get to your feet, Commander. You'll get what the cadet got.
What are you doing in this ship?
Preparing it for its last voyage. There's an explosive hidden aboard, timed to go off 2 hours after blastoff. And you, my friends, will be aboard.
We'll be back in just a moment with today's Space Patrol story, The Queen of Space. Gang, this is Space Patroller Dick Tufeld at an Aqua Jet boat race on Mars. Now, my favorite is the Shooting Star. But hey, it doesn't have a chance. That driver's filling up the tank with ordinary fuel. You see what I mean? No zip, no zoom. Hey, but wait. The driver's now putting in some super fuel. Wow, look at the Shooting Star go. Bound to be a winner now because she's supercharged. Supercharged with super fuel. Now, you want to be a winner, too, don't you, gang? You bet. In sports, in school, in everything you do. Well, then remember the story of the Shooting Star. Ordinary fuel, ordinary start. Super fuel, super start. So don't wait. Get supercharged. And gang, get supercharged the way Buzz Corey does. Eat a good breakfast with a Checkerboard Super Cereal, like Rice Chex or Wheat Chex. Some cereals, yes, sir. If you want flavor, just get Chex. If you want something different, just get Chex. C-H-E-X, Chex. Right for a bite, because they're bite-sized. Get them at your grocer's today in the red and white checkerboard package. Rice Chex, Wheat Chex. The bite-sized super cereals that help to supercharge you. Commander Corey, Cadet Happy, and Tonga, Assistant Security Chief of the United Planets, are on the planet Uranus to investigate a series of accidents that have occurred to passenger ships. In the chart room of the Space Patrol office, Buzz is briefing Happy and Tonga.
You two have made a lot of flights between the outer planets, so I don't have to impress on you the tremendous distances involved.
No, sir.
And you know that here in Uranus, we're outside the orbits of 7 of the 10 planets of the solar system.
And yet we're barely halfway between the Sun and Pluto.
That's right. Now, everyone realizes that the companies running freight and passenger ships between Uranus, Neptune, and Pluto are working under handicaps.
Yeah, the long hauls cut down on their profits.
Right. A freighter could make 16 trips from Earth to Mercury, for example, while other freighters make only one trip from Neptune to Pluto.
But that doesn't explain all these accidents on the outer planet runs.
No, it doesn't, Tonga. At least not entirely.
Unless the companies are cutting down on safety checkups to save money.
Robbie and I thought that was the explanation at first. However, it's a pretty short-sighted company that would cut corners on inspections, especially when it keeps losing ships like Spaceways Incorporated.
Now, one good thing, no passengers have been lost.
No, not yet. It's our job to find out what the trouble is before any human lives are sacrificed.
Well, from the report, Spaceways Incorporated had had most of the accidents.
Yes. Of course, they are a new concern. They haven't had the experience that transorbit lines have had.
Commander, isn't transorbit operated by a woman?
Yes, and she's a very capable manager, according to all reports. Her name is Jelena Fenton.
Well, I thought transorbit just handled the inner planet surface.
Yeah, they did until recently. But now they have half a dozen ships on the runs between Uranus, Neptune, and Pluto.
Have they been having trouble, too?
A little, but not nearly so much as Spaceways. Now, our regular Space Patrol inspectors haven't been able to find the source of the difficulty. So we're going to do a little undercover work. That's where you come in, Tonga.
Yes, Commander.
You'll pose as a writer for a magazine, gathering material for a series of articles on living conditions on the outer planets.
Good. Then I can make trips from planet to planet without arousing suspicion.
Yes, it'll give you a chance to observe conditions around spaceports and watch the personnel.
What do you and I do, Commander?
Well, for the time being, we'll just make routine inspections of Space Patrol bases and keep in touch with Tonga.
How do you want me to contact you, Commander?
Use your miniature spacephone. Keep it with you at all times.
I will.
And don't use it when there's anyone around.
When do I start?
Immediately. There's a Spaceways passenger ship leaving Uranus for Pluto in the morning. Be aboard it.
Right, Commander.
Happy now, blast off in Terror the Fifth a few hours after your ship leaves. I got your message, General. What's up?
You can cancel that trip to Mercury, Cardo. You're staying here on Neptune.
What about that spaceway ship I was supposed to, fix?
I've already arranged it.
Oh. What happens this time? Does the oxygen reclaiming unit give out?
No, we won't use that one again for a while. I've got a better one.
Yeah? What?
The orbit computer. It's been tampered with, so it'll give the wrong vector.
Oh, that's not so serious.
Oh, isn't it? On a run to Pluto with a full passenger list. You know how little reserve power those spaceway ships have.
Hey, that's right. They'll run out before they can get back on course. Unless they get a spacephone fixed from space control.
They won't be able to. Halfway to Pluto, their spacephone power unit will fail.
A few more accidents like this, and nobody will get aboard a spaceway ship.
Which means that Transorbit will have all the business.
I've sure got to hand it to you, Jolden. At first, I thought you were crazy to take on these outer planet runs.
It would have been crazy if we were merely going to be satisfied with a few crumbs that spaceways didn't want to be bothered with.
If you keep on, Jolden, you'll be known as the Queen of Space.
Queen of Space. You know, Cardo, I think I rather like it.
We're on vector, sir.
Yes. You know, that's the fourth time you've checked in the last half hour. We're on automatic control.
Oh, gee, sir, a guy has to do something to keep busy. We're still 10 million DUs from Pluto, and I've read every tech manual in the ship.
Imagine having to make this run every day, Happy, on a freighter.
No, thanks. I'd go crazy.
Tonga calling Commander Corey. Tonga calling Commander Corey.
Maybe she's getting bored, too.
Corey here. Go ahead, Tonga.
Commander, something's wrong aboard this passenger ship.
Well, what's the trouble? Where are you?
I'm in my private compartment. I think the ship is off course.
Happy, get a fix on Tonga's signal.
Yes, sir.
What makes you think you're off course, Tonga?
I overheard a couple of the crew members whispering. They don't want to alarm the passengers, but I know the steward is very worried.
Well, how could the ship get off course?
I don't know, but I heard the steward say that the ship's spacephone is out of commission.
Does anyone aboard know you've got a miniature spacephone?
No, Commander.
I've got a fix, sir. They sure are off course by nearly 30 degrees.
Did you hear that, Tonga?
Yes.
And they must have been off for some time. There are thousands of DUs from the regular space lane.
Now, Tonga, listen. I could spacephone the correct course to you to give to the pilot, but that would mean somebody would know you're a space patrol agent. Of course, if the ship is really in trouble...
I don't think so. At least not yet.
Well, then Happy and I'll change vector and come close enough so that the pilot will pick us up in his viewscope. He'll naturally follow us.
And you lead the ship to Pluto.
Oh, just a minute. Got the position charted, Happy?
Yes, sir. They're about here.
Tonga, you're much closer to Neptune than to Pluto. These outer planet ship line operations don't have too much reserve power. We'll lead you back to Neptune.
All right, Commander.
We're changing vector now. We should be in viewscope range in about half an hour. Go out and mingle with the passengers. Contact me if any serious trouble develops.
Right, Commander.
Corey out. Well, Happy, what was it you were saying about this Pluto run being boring?
Here's that schedule of Spaceways flights, Jelna. Most of them are inward bound from Pluto.
Spaceways Common is due this afternoon at Neptune City Spaceport. Leaves for Neptune's moon tomorrow morning.
That doesn't give us much time.
True, but it might give us a fine opportunity.
How do you mean?
With a short haul to the moon coming up tomorrow, chances are the maintenance crew won't do much work on the ship.
Yeah, that's right. They'll wait till he gets back, unless there's something that needs immediate attention.
All right, Cardo. Keep an eye on the comet when it comes in. After that long run from Pluto, the pilot and the rest of the crew will probably head for town for a good time.
Yeah, you're right, Jelna. Say, I wonder how that other ship's making out, the big passenger job.
Right now, the pilot's probably discovering he's millions of DUs off course and with a low power supply. But don't start making any inquiries, Cardo.
Don't worry. I'll wait for the official announcement. Another Spaceways ship lost.
Think they see us, sir?
They ought to. They show up strong enough in our viewscope.
Well, I hope the pilot has sense enough to follow us.
He'll probably be very glad to, Happy. I'm going to change vector now. Watch the screen and see if he follows us.
Yes, sir.
How about it, Happy?
I think he's got the idea all right, sir.
Tonga calling Commander Corey.
Corey here. Go ahead, Tonga.
I'm back in my compartment. Everything's all right.
Good. Does the pilot know we're headed for Neptune?
He just made an announcement through the public address system. We passengers have been told that the ship is making an emergency landing on Neptune.
There's no panic, I hope.
No, we've been assured that it's nothing serious. There's a lot of grumbling about the delay, but nobody's alarmed.
Well, find out all you can, Tonga. I'll arrange to meet you when you land on Neptune.
Jelena, something went wrong.
What do you mean?
That ship that was supposed to get lost in the run to Pluto.
Well, what about it?
Just landed here on Neptune, of all the rotten breaks.
But the orbit computer did fail, didn't it?
Yes, but a space patrol ship happened along and the pilot followed him to Neptune.
Did you say happened along?
Yes. Apparently, the space patrol ship didn't even know the passenger ship was in trouble. At least the space patrol didn't attempt to make contact.
Well, maybe it's better this way. Now we've got 35 or 40 unhappy passengers. We'll tell their friends what an inefficient line Spaceways is. Next time, they'll all take transorbit.
One thing I admire about you, Jelena, you always look on the bright side of things.
How about the comet?
It's working out the way you said it would. The crew headed for town for a good time, and the ship is due for an overhaul after it gets back from Neptune's moon.
But it won't get back, Cardo. It's going to be blown up on the way.
Blown up?
Yes. You can sneak aboard tonight and plant an explosive in one of the aft compartments. I suggest the emergency rations compartment.
Suppose they check the ship before blastoff.
It isn't likely they'd check the emergency rations before a short trip to that moon. Especially when there's a major overhaul coming up in a couple of days. I've got it all worked out. The explosive will be in a regular emergency ration.
I've looked all over the spaceport, Commander, and I can't find Tonga.
I wonder what's delaying her. She's had plenty of time to check in at the Space Hotel and get back here.
Shall I look again, sir? And maybe she's over in Wing B.
Oh, here she comes, Happy. Yeah, she sees us. Let's move over here behind these pillars. Remember, Happy, don't call her by name.
Commander.
What did you find out?
The orbit computer and the ship had been tampered with. So had the space phone transmitter.
So somebody wanted that ship to get lost.
Yes. And I picked up a very interesting rumor about who might be behind it.
Who?
I've been talking to some of the Spaceways employees. They think Transorbit is trying to run them out of business.
Well, that's a serious charge. Do they have any evidence?
No, but I heard a certain name mentioned. Brox Cardo.
Brox Cardo, huh?
Yes. Cardo works for Jelena Fenton of Transorbit.
And what's Cardo supposed to do?
I couldn't learn anything specific, but I get the impression that Cardo would do just about anything.
Transorbit's main offices are here in Neptune City. Happy, maybe you and I can check up on this Cardo.
Yes, sir.
And Tonga, the best thing for you to do is go ahead with our original plan.
You mean go on to Pluto?
Yes. When is the next passenger ship leaving for Pluto?
Spaceways hasn't any scheduled until day after tomorrow. But there is a transorbit ship leaving tomorrow morning.
And take that one. Oh, and by the way, this might be a good time to start gathering material for those magazine articles you're supposed to be writing.
Oh?
See if you can get an interview with Jelena Fenton at Transorbit.
All right, Commander.
In the meantime, Happy and I'll check up on Brox Cardo. We'll slow down a little, Happy. We don't want Cardo to suspect we're trailing him.
Yes, sir. He's heading for that spaceship.
Yeah, it's the comet. Just got in from Pluto this afternoon.
See, it's a beautiful ship, isn't it, sir?
Yeah, it's the pride of Spaceways. Hold it, Happy.
Cardo's getting in the ship.
Yes. I'm very curious to know why a transorbit employee is snooping around a Spaceways ship.
What do you suppose he's got in that box he's carrying?
Suppose we find out. Come on, Happy.
He's been in there a long time.
Up the ladder, Happy. Let's find out just what he's up to in there.
Which way, sir?
Look up forward. He may be tampering with the controls. Wrong guess, gentlemen.
Commander, look out!
Stay where you are, cadet.
Oh, yeah?
Cardo, put down that gun! Now, try to get to your feet, Commander. You'll get what the cadet got. What are you doing in this ship? Preparing the comet for its last voyage.
What do you mean?
There's an explosive hidden in the aft compartment, timed to go off 2 hours after blastoff tomorrow.
But there'll be passengers aboard.
Yes, I know. It looks like there'll be two extra passengers, Commander. The cadet and you.
We'll be back with Space Patrol in just a moment. Gang, this is Space Patroller Dick Tufeld speaking from the Interplanetary School Stadium on Terra. Just saw a swell football game here. Listen to this crowd cheering the winners. Yes, it sure is fun when you're a winner and hear something like that. Right, gang? But remember, to be a winner, you have to be supercharged. And here's the way to take care of that. Eat a good breakfast with Rice Chex or Wheat Chex, the bite-sized super cereals that help to supercharge you. Delicious? Why, there's sure plenty of zing in that Rice Chex flavor. And man, oh man, Rice Chex biscuits are toasted and toasted to make them crisper and crisper. And Wheat Chex, Ah, there's a flavor you'd fly to the moon for. Now remember, it's fun to be a winner, and hear this. So move right up and be a winner. Move right up to the table for a breakfast that supercharges you. A good breakfast with Rice Chex or Wheat Chex. Get them today, gang, and get supercharged.
That's right. Danger, danger, warning, warning. That was Dick Tufeld. Doing the commercial. Are you guys here? Dave, are you with us? Woo-hoo. Well, hey, anyway, that was part one of Space Patrol. And I don't know. Can you guys hear Dave or can you hear me? Can you check it out there in the chat? Because there is something awry here. All right. Well, I am not hearing Dave or anything else, so I am going to jump right to part two of Queen of Space.
At the Neptune City spaceport, Commander Corey and Cadet Happy entered a spaceship to apprehend a suspected saboteur. The saboteur, Brox Cardo, attacking Buzz and Happy by surprise, put them to sleep with a ray gun. Now, heavily bound and gagged, they're locked in a compartment in the spaceship in which Cardo has planted an explosive, timed to go off 2 hours after the ship blasts off for Neptune's moon. Meanwhile, following Buzz's instructions, Tonga has called on Jelna Fenton, head of the Transorbit Space Lines, in her office on Neptune City. To obtain information, Tonga is posing as a writer for the Inner Planets Weekly magazine.
You have given me some very interesting facts, Miss Fenton. I won't take up any more of...
Jelna, I... Oh, excuse me.
Oh, it's quite all right. I was just leaving. This young lady is writing an article about us for the Inner Planets Weekly.
Well, that's fine.
Thank you again, Miss Fenton. Goodbye. Goodbye. And I think you're very wise to take a transorbit ship to Pluto.
Thank you.
The girl's not much of a space traveler. She was on the ship that got lost. Frightened her to death.
That's so?
Now I am glad that ship got here safely. She'll write up her horrible experience on a spaceway ship and give Transorbit a nice plug.
Yeah, swell. Now, what I wanted to...
And I managed to work in that line of yours. You know, calling me the Queen of Space. Oh, of course, I did it very modestly.
Yeah, sure, Jolly. But listen, I planted the explosive in the comet, all right.
Oh, good. Did anyone see you?
Yes. Commander Corey of the Space Patrol.
What?
Now, don't worry. I took care of him and his cadet both. They're locked up on the ship. When the ship blows up tomorrow, they'll
Wait.
Be...
Thought so. She was listening.
Who?
That girl, the reporter.
Well, do you think she heard us?
We've got to find out. Come on, Cardo. We'll follow her and see where she goes.
If I could only get my hands free. We've got to get loose, Happy. There's a bomb aboard this ship. Cardo set it to go off, and the ship's about halfway to Neptune's moon. There. I'll untie your hands.
Thank you, sir.
I don't know how we're going to get out of this compartment, but we've got to.
Well, when somebody comes aboard, maybe they can hear us pounding on the door.
Possibly. The ship is heavily soundproof. Can't even hear the roar of the rockets when... I wonder...
You mean maybe we've already blasted off?
That could be. Listen. No.
I don't hear anything.
There's no telling how long that ray gun put us to sleep. If we're in flight now, that bomb may go off any second.
Look, let's try banging on the door.
All right, Hap.
Hey, open up! Open up. Anybody out there? Open up.
Oh, wait a minute.
Do you hear anything?
Yes.
Hey, somebody's heard us. Tonga.
Commander. Happy, are you all right?
Yes, Tonga, but how did you know we were here?
I overheard Carter tell Jelna.
Oh, so we haven't blasted off.
Obviously not. Now we got to find that bomb and get it out of the ship.
Yes, sir.
Commander, I think Carter and Jelna are after me.
They may think so, Tonga, but as a matter of fact, we're after them. As soon as we fix that bomb, we'll be on our way. Let's get at it, Happy.
I can carry the bomb, sir.
It's not heavy, huh?
Are you sure that's the right box?
Yes, Tonga. It was the only one that was hidden in the emergency ration storage compartment.
Yeah, you can tell by the weight. This box is twice as heavy as the others.
Happy, you and I'll take this bomb to the Space Patrol emergency officer here at the spaceport for detonating. And we'll all meet later at Gate 7.
Yes, sir.
Tonga, while we're doing that, you call Neptune Unit Space Patrol headquarters and alert them to pick up Cardo and Jelna Fenton.
There they are. We're too late, Jenna. That girl set them loose.
Why didn't you give the commander and that cadet another blast with a ray gun? It would have kept them unconscious till after the comet blasted off.
Well, what difference does it make now? The girl found them.
Makes a lot of difference. Commander won't lose any time in getting out an alarm for us.
What'll we do?
Let's get to our ship and blast off. We've got to get off Neptune.
Yeah, we got to get off Neptune before Corey has a chance to alert the space patrol.
Oh, wait. Girl's leaving and coming this way.
Get out of sight before she sees us.
I'd like to really fix her.
Never mind the girl.
Wait a minute. It might be a good idea to take her with us.
What for?
Don't be an idiot. You've got that ray gun, haven't you?
Yeah.
Then get her.
With all these people around?
Come on. If we handle it right, nobody will notice. Just have that gun ready. Now, Cardo.
In a hurry, miss?
Oh, why, Miss Benton. What a nice surprise. You're not half as surprised as you're going to be.
This is a ray gun on your back. Now come along quietly. Get moving out toward the ships.
Tonga's not at Gate 7, Commander.
I know, and she won't be.
What?
She never did call headquarters. I just checked. Tonga's not in the habit of disobeying orders.
But what happened?
Jelena Fenton's own private space cruiser just blasted off. I got the report from space control.
Well, sir, do you think she has Tonga with her?
That's what I'm afraid of, Happy. Get to our ship. We're going after them. I've got the ship on vector for Saturn, Jelena.
Put it in full acceleration. We've got to get plenty of distance between us and Neptune.
Yeah. How's the girl?
Still locked up in the compartment. Oh, I found out who she is.
Yeah, who?
Tonga, Assistant Security Chief of the Space Patrol.
Oh, that's not good.
Why?
This can mean plenty of trouble.
Oh, and I suppose you don't think we're in trouble now? Tonga can help keep Corey off our necks.
Yeah, but will she?
Save her own, sure. Besides, we don't care whether she cooperates or not.
Jelena, look, the rear view scope.
Ship.
It's coming right toward us and gaining every second. Jelena, they're after us.
Now, don't get excited. Calm down.
That's a space patrol ship. It's Corey.
So much the better. Relax, Cardo. Relax.
It's a private cruiser, sir.
Yes, with a transorbit trademark on it. It's Jelena Fenton's ship, all right.
Yeah, we're sure gaining on it.
They must know they're being followed. They don't seem to be doing anything about it. Turn on the spacophone, Happy.
Yes, sir.
This is Commander Corey aboard Terra 5 calling Jelena Fenton and private cruiser N56. Corey to Jelena Fenton.
Cruiser N56 to Terra 5. Go ahead.
Return to Neptune immediately. You're under arrest.
Really, Commander?
Is Brox Cardo aboard?
Brox Cardo? Well, I never heard of him.
This is an order, Miss Fenton. Return to Neptune immediately or we'll have to use force.
It's very interesting, Commander, but I don't think you will. You wouldn't want to risk harming your assistant security chief, would you?
So you have Tonga aboard.
That's right, Commander. I suppose you think I'm bluffing.
No, Jelena. I believe him. And I'm warning you, if you harm Tonga in any way...
If you don't want her harmed, then I suggest you just go about your own business and leave us alone. Goodbye, Commander.
Jelena, listen.
Tonga calling Commander Corey.
Hey, Tonga's still got her miniature spacophone, and she's on her private frequency.
Go ahead, Tonga.
Commander, I'm aboard Jelena Fenton's private cruiser.
I know. Abby and I are right behind you. I just talked to Jelena, and she refused to return to Neptune.
I've tried to get out of the compartment, but I can't. It's locked.
Well, listen, Tonga. Right now, Jelena has the upper hand. If we join airlocks with her ship, she'll carry out her threat to harm you.
Well, she'll have to land sometime.
Yes, but that still doesn't help your case. Where is your compartment?
Amidships, on the starboard side.
I'm going to try something, Tonga. Maybe a little risky, but in the long run, you'll stand a better chance of getting away.
Anything you say, Commander.
Whatever you do, don't let Jelena know I've talked to you by miniature spacophone.
Yes, sir.
Obey their orders exactly. Corey out. Happy, while I put on my spacesuit, get me an atomic torch.
Atomic torch, yes, sir.
Hurry. I'll pull up close to Jelena's ship. Ship's right off our starboard.
I guess he doesn't believe we've got Tonga aboard. But if he starts anything, he'll find out soon enough.
Corey to Jelena. Corey to Jelena.
Gonna talk to him?
Yes. What is it, Commander?
I want to be sure Tonga's aboard.
Don't you trust me?
I want to see that she's all right.
Well, that's fair enough. Cardo, go bring Tonga up here so the Commander can see her.
Okay. Keep pulling in closer to Jelena's ship, Happy.
We're nearly touching now, sir.
I'm going to keep back so they can't see that I've got a spacesuit on. You know what to do.
Yes, sir. As soon as you tell Jelena that you see Tonga, I let our ship drop back a little, and you go out the airlock and jetpack over to Jelena's ship.
That's right. Turn on the spacephone, Happy. Well, Jelena, have you got Tonga? Let's see her.
I Yes, Commander. She's right here at the nose port. Can't you see her?
Yes. Are you all right, Tonga?
Yes, Commander. Now, are you satisfied, Commander?
Just see that you don't harm her.
Then get your ship away from here.
Cut it, Happy.
Okay, sir.
All right. Drop back now. I'm going out the airlock.
Be careful, sir.
Corey's pulled his ship away.
Good. He finally got some sense.
I was afraid for a while he was going to connect airlocks.
Would have been just too bad for Tonga if he had.
I'll take her back and lock her up again.
All right.
Never mind. I'll take care of
her. Corey!
Commander!
Don't reach for that gun, Cardo!
Cardo! Sense, you arm the sense and let go of me, Tonga! Let go! And stop struggling!
Drop it, Cardo! All right, you asked for it! I just stay down there.
How did you get aboard, Corey?
Doesn't the spacesuit give you a hint? I came in through the airlock. I triggered the latch with an atomic cutting torch. Tonga, you can let go of Miss Fenton now. I've got her covered.
Yes, Commander.
We'll lock them up after I contact Happy. Commander Corey calling Cadet Happy.
You made it, sir.
Right, Happy. Tonga and I have got Cardo and Miss Fenton. She seems pretty unhappy. I suppose she's disappointed because there won't be an article about her in the Inner Planet Weekly.
Well, tell her to cheer up, sir. There'll be a nice long one about her in the next Space Patrol crime report.
We'll be back with an action preview of next week's exciting Space Patrol story in just a moment. Say, do you hear that clock? Time's running away fast, gang, but it's something you just can't hold back. So don't wait. Send for a Space Patrol spaceophone set now. This offer soon ends. The spaceophone, the magic phone that sounds like a walkie-talkie. But time's a-wasting, so hurry. Now think of it. A spaceophone that looks exactly like the one Buzz Corey uses. But remember, this offer will soon end. Time is really running out. So gang, hurry. Hurry while there's still time. Send today for your spaceophone set. You can talk on it to someone a straight 50 feet away. But don't wait. Act now. This offer soon ends. You get two blue and yellow plastic spaceophones, 50 feet of communication cord, and a briefing sheet. Here's all you do. Just buy a box of Instant Ralston. Then with your name and address, send an Instant Ralston box top and 25 cents in coin to Space Patrol, Box 686, St. Louis, Missouri. This offer good only in continental U.S., and may be withdrawn at any time. That's Space Patrol, Box 686, St. Louis, Missouri. And now for a preview of next week's exciting Space Patrol story. Buzz and Happy are climbing the face of a steep cliff on the planet Saturn in pursuit of a criminal. At one side of them, a great waterfall thunders down 1,000 feet to the valley below.
Kolgar must have reached the top, Commander. I don't see him.
It's amazing. He went up this cliff like a mountain goat.
It's sure hard to get a foothold.
Look out, Happy. There's a rock falling.
Smoking rockets. Wow, that was close.
There are more coming. Press close to the side of the cliff.
Hey, it looks like the whole top of the mountain is coming down on us.
That's Kolgar's work. He started a landslide.
And it's coming down right on top of us. What are we going to do?
Be sure to be with us next Saturday for the exciting story, The Giant Bubble, when Wheat Checks, Rice Checks, and Good Hot Ralston again bring you Space Patrol!
This is your commander, gang, with a story about the warriors in your bloodstream. Do you know what they are? They're the white blood cells, and they're warriors against disease. When a person is sick, he often needs a whole extra army of these warriors. That's just one reason why it's vital to have a big supply of blood in hospitals. Will you help me remind grown-ups that America needs more blood donations? Then join the Space Patrol Blood Boosters. Don't wait. Join today.
Space Patrol, an original Mike Moser production, starring Ed Kemmer as Commander Corey and Lynn Osborne as Cadet Happy, was written by Lou Houston and directed by Larry Robertson. Other players were Nina Barra, Virginia Hewitt, and Norman Jolly. Dick Tufeld speaking. Now, don't forget to tune in next Saturday and every Saturday when Wheat Checks, Rice Checks, and Good Hot Ralston again present the new exciting Space Patrol. And be sure to see another exciting Space Patrol program on your local ABC television station. Consult your newspaper for time and channel. Space Patrol comes to you transcribed from Hollywood. This is ABC Radio Network.
And that was Tick Tufel, the voice of the Lost in Space robot.
What are they doing asking 8-year-olds to donate blood for?
I don't know. I always thought Lugosi would be a fine guy to advertise for a blood drive. I just...
Everybody come down and bring me your blood. Yeah.
Oh, your blood. Don't hold back. Good to the last drop. Oh, wait, wrong vampire.
wrong vampire, yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
But that's a count you can't always count on, though.
No, but we could count on Gar, even though he has been ailing. Leaves us with his spirit. Eerie House Radio proudly presents a Garless Moral of the Story.
Yes, apologies for messing up Gar's thing here. News gets old as soon as it is mentioned. Especially future news, you know? Especially future news.
Yes. Excuse me.
Gesundheit.
Yes. I'll live. Somebody's gotta.
Yeah, well, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. Now, my jokes don't. My jokes don't live, but but you know, there's something
either.
Always good about an old joke. Some newcomers never heard it before, you know?
There you go. I like that. Excellent. It's a joke within a joke. Hey, you bamboozled
yes.
me. I feel bamboozled.
That's a good word, bamboozled, yeah.
I haven't used it in a long time. I thought bamboozle would be a good one to drop tonight.
Yeah, well, don't forget to pick it up on your way out.
Yeah. I'll try flim-flammed in a future episode of Eerie House Radio.
Oh, yeah.
So stay
yeah.
tuned.
Yeah, save that for another episode, yeah.
Flim-flam, yeah.
Can't
it's
use them all up.
Bamboozle.
Yes, it is. And that's right up there with brouhaha, right?
Oh, gosh, the brouhaha. All right, now this is weird. In the studio, for a minute there, Fogsbane had the green icon. And now only Dave has the green icon.
Wait a minute. Did I have a green icon when I signed in? I didn't think I did.
Well, I don't know. It's long time. And you wonder why those little pictures I throw up on our Facebook page are like ripping at our provider here of this fine production.
Fogsbane visited his profile and refreshed his page.
Ooh, there's an idea.
There we go. So if I go to my, I'm looking here.
Yep. For all you billions and millions of people in the chat, try it. Visit your profile, refresh the page.
Edit profile and refresh. I feel so refreshed. I don't know how to get back now, but I feel so refreshed.
I don't know. You look green over here. Anyway.
Oh, man. Oh, wow.
Hey, I even refreshed my page. No show, no go.
Yeah, you got the Eerie House thing there. You got the Eerie House thing there, yeah.
Yeah, the Eerie House thing is there, but no Dave. Just a green silhouette.
No, it's not easy being green. Anyway.
A green silhouette of a man. Oh, sorry. Still got my head on Queen. we might as well stick with the space and sci-fi vibe we've got going on with Queens, and let's move on over to Crisis next. What do you think?
We can do that. Yeah, go to the Silver Age of Radio. So many cool shows going on during that time, and with Alien Worlds, we've been picking up more of those lately, and have some of those lined up for the future, is Crises, and of course all the other fun shows like we had the Adventure Radio Theater last week. So yes,
with Tom Bosley.
Yes, yes, good old Bob, your ukulele is showing, and you should probably get some extra buttons put on those. But
yeah, yeah, and tune those strings while you're at it. Yeah,
yeah. That's kind of, you know, adult there, having your ukulele hanging out like that. But this one's kind of comical, I would assume, based on the title. And I must say, I cheated. I listened to a little bit of it. So I think you guys are going to enjoy this one from Crisis. It's called Grandpa and the Queen of Venus.
Okay, but obviously you didn't go to the end. So be careful of laughing too much at the end. This is from episode number 106. Of the May 27th of 1970 and 6.
The Golden West Radio Network presents Crisis.
Joe, where are you? Joe, where are you?
Joellen, go tell Grandpa dinner's ready. Okay. Don't give me any lima beans, or I won't eat them. Grandpa, dinner's ready. Tell him to get washed up. Your hands washed, Joellen?
Uh-huh.
Don't put so much mayonnaise on everything.
I'm not putting it on everything. It gives me zits, you know.
Oh, it does not.
Yes, it does.
Hey, where's Pop? Out in the shack?
Yes. He's coming right in.
Hey, what does he do out there?
Just messes around.
Oh, be quiet, Joe. Get washed up, Grandpa.
No, I will. Hello there, Milt.
Hi, Dad.
Something smells elegant, Irene.
Just macaroni and cheese and lima beans.
Smells mighty good to me. Milton, you married a good little cook. My mother trained her from the age of 6.
Yeah, right.
Oh, Dad, don't wash in the sink. Oh, never mind.
What, honey?
Never mind, Dad.
Yes, sirree. There's one thing I'll say for Irene. She was trained at her mother's knee. She could cook a full-course meal by the time she was 8. Now, couldn't you, honey? Remember how
let's
you...
Let's sit right down while it's still hot. Please pass the macaroni. Wait a minute, Joellen.
Oh.
Dad, will you tonight?
Yeah. Dear Lord, for what we are about to receive, we are truly thankful.
Amen. Please pass
the... And dear Lord, thank you for the generosity of my daughter and a good husband who have given me a home. Amen.
Please pass the wieners.
Use your fork, not your fingers.
Joellen.
I'm sorry.
And eat slowly. You're not going anywhere.
Now, Joe, I expect you to eat at least a few lima beans.
I hate lima beans. Why do we always have to have lima beans?
It's dinner time at the Kesters. A good, solid, fairly typical American family with 4 mouths to feed. The 4th mouth only recently joined the family circle. Grandpa Samson, the recently widowed father of Irene Kester, has come to live with the Kesters. A decent, kindly arrangement, and perfectly practical, just so long as all parties treat each other with consideration. But this arrangement has been going on now for 3 months, and the polish is wearing off the good manners. The annoying habits are beginning to surface and abrade against each other. Inevitable, you say? Perhaps. But what annoys Milt Kester, what amuses Joellen, and what vaguely worries Irene isn't that Grandpa is always around the house underfoot. Oh, no, it's quite the opposite. Grandpa is doing something out in the tool shed, building something. And he won't say what. We'll be back in a minute with tonight's unusual tale of crisis, featuring Arthur Kahn, Rosie Saya, and John Amendola.
No. No more coffee for me, honey. Well, will you folks excuse me?
Going up to bed, Dad?
No. Well, I think I'll mosey back down to the shed.
You put a coat on. It's cold down there.
All right, I will. It's a delicious dinner, Irene. You're sure spoiling your old man.
He's unreal.
He's your grandpa, Joellen. You be nice.
I didn't mean anything, but he is. He must love that old tool shed. It smells like oil and old grass. And he smells like oil and old grass.
Joellen, haven't you got homework to do?
Yeah. Can I go to the library?
Do you need to go to the library?
Yeah.
All right.
Wear a sweater and in by 9, you hear?
Yes, Mom.
More coffee, Milt?
No.
Is it getting you down having Dad here?
No, he's all right. But what is he doing in that tool shed?
Puttering, I guess.
He lives out there.
He always did like to keep busy.
Well, that's fine. But he's out there fussing around to all hours. And he's sure not sharpening the lawnmower.
Well, did you expect him to sharpen the lawnmower?
No.
If you'd rather he didn't go out there.
No, I didn't say that. But it is my tool shed. And I, well,
you
know...
Well, you never have a minute to spend in it.
Well, what's that supposed to mean?
Well, you don't. You're gone.
Well, that's how I make my living. That's how I happen to support you and your father.
Thanks.
Well, I'm on the road. When I get home, I think I'm entitled to a little relaxation.
Please, let's not argue.
We're not.
You never liked the tool shed before Dad came.
Oh, it's not a question of liking the tool shed. It's just that... Well, what's he doing in there anyway?
He's keeping busy. He's finding work to do. Thank God for that. Too many men retire and just go to pieces for want of something to occupy their time.
Well, he sure found something.
You know, it wouldn't hurt you to go down there and just talk to him a while.
When, tonight? He doesn't want company.
How do you know? Try it.
All right, why not? Maybe he'll let me in on what the Tevely's building out there.
What can I do for you?
Oh, nothing. Just thought I'd walk down the yard. How are you doing in there?
Oh, fine. Just fine.
You warm enough?
Oh, plenty warm.
Got enough light?
Oh, just right. Just perfect.
Kind of messy place to hang around in, isn't it?
No, I don't think so. I enjoy it.
Yeah, well...
Of course, it's your tool shed. Man's tool shed is his castle.
if you like it in there.
Yeah, I tell you the truth, Milt. I've missed having a tool shed ever since Eunice and I moved to that apartment. You know, nobody ever heard of a tool shed in an apartment house. So this is a real treat for me. Yes, sir. Real tool shed again.
Well, it's nice that you, found something to occupy your time. You must have quite a project going on there, Gramps.
I'm always puttering around, trying to keep busy. You know how it is. Well...
Yeah, I'll sure be interested to see that project of yours whenever it's finished.
Your project?
Yeah, you know, whatever it is you're working on.
Oh, well, don't hold your breath, Milt. Don't hold your breath.
Mother!
What is it?
What has Grandpa done?
What are you talking about?
Well, just look.
I'm darning your father's socks. You can tell me what he's done.
Look out the window at the tool shed.
Well, what?
See?
What on earth?
I saw it as I came through the hedge. I couldn't believe it.
Oh, my stars.
Look, I just said a bed springs up on a pole.
Joellen, go upstairs and start your homework.
I don't have any.
Then just... Oh!
Wife phoned me about this. I told her she had to be seeing things. No one in his right mind would hang bed springs from a flagpole. Now that I'm home, I take it all back. That's just what he's done.
I just noticed it myself. I've been out most of the afternoon.
What's it for?
What?
The bed springs on the roof of your tool shed. Why'd the old gentleman hang them up there?
I really don't know.
Of course, it's none of my business, but living right next door and all,
I understand, Mr. But I don't like the looks of it any more than you do. When my father comes back, I'll ask him to take them down.
Well, hello, Mr. Sackett. How are you? Hello, my dear. I was just over to the hardware store for some things.
Dad.
Nice seeing you, sir. Talk to you later, Mrs. Kester.
Yeah, come over any time, Mr. Sackett. Any time at all.
Dad, do you know what he was over here for?
Huh? No, I was gone when he came.
He's complaining about that up on the shed.
Which? Oh, the antenna.
The what?
Well, that's the antenna.
It's bed springs.
And they look... Oh, Dad, please take them down from there.
You know, they do look a little like coil springs at that, don't they? But I'm surprised Mr. Saffet didn't recognize them at once, being in aerospace as he is. Now, those are ultra-high-frequency antennas.
Dad.
Well, call me when supper's ready.
Dad?
Hmm?
You and I have to talk.
Why, sure, honey.
Dad, we love having you here with us. You know that. And we want you to feel free to do the things you enjoy. But, well, we're concerned about you.
You are?
Well, yes. You spend so much time out here in this little old tool shed, and I see there's a padlock on it now.
Yeah. We've had that padlock for 40 years, Irene. I remember buying that padlock off an old man I knew. Wasn't going to buy it, but then he said something that sold me on it then and there. He said, now someday you'll have something so valuable that you'll want the strongest lock to lock it up. Well, I kept that padlock oiled and ready for 40 years, hoping someday I'd have something valuable enough to justify locking it up with that padlock. And now I have.
In that old tool shed?
Uh-huh.
But what, Dad? What's in there?
Well,
Dad, what? What are you doing in there?
Yeah, just puttering around, Irene. I love the feel of tools in my hand, you know what I mean? Nothing is as purposeful as a tool.
Well, that's fine, but will you please take those things down off the shed?
I can. Not yet.
Please.
Not yet, Irene.
Should have said goodnight, Irene. It's right up there with goodnight, Mrs. Calabash. As, once again, I'm Daveless. Oh, well, if y'all can hear me, and I hope that you can, without any feedback here. We got Grandpa and the Queen of Venus. What the heck is he building? And what does it have to do with the Queen of Venus? Ah, Dave dropped out. He'll be back. Don't worry, gang. At least his icon's here, so we got that going for us. Dave, are you back? Yoo-hoo. There's no you in your who. Hold on. Let me turn him off and turn him on. And we got no Dave. Once again, it's just Dale. We're wrapping up. Queen, or no, Grandpa and the Queen of Venus. Part 2.
Safford came over and said what?
It's nothing. That was Monday. This is Friday.
No. Fill me in. What did he say?
Well, it was about the bed springs on the tool shed roof.
The what?
Well, Dad put these bed springs on the tool shed roof. He says there's some kind of antennas.
Oh, is that so? What do we got here? Some kind of fruitcake? Hey, what is this? A boarding house for wackos?
Look, Milt, he's my father.
Where is he?
Milt!
Look, I'm on the road all week, and I come home and find the old man lugging junk into my backyard. Well, I'm going to tell him who's running this show.
Dad, do you know anything about fixing TV?
Go back to your room, Joellen.
Where is he? Out there in the shed?
You're not going to say a word to him.
Listen, the TV is going crazy, I'm telling you.
Look, I can't fix your TV, Joellen.
Phone's ringing, I'll get it.
Geez, this place has turned into a madhouse.
He's an old man, and he's still getting over the shock of losing his wife. Lots of people do strange things when they're under stress.
That's for you, Daddy.
All right. Okay, I'm coming.
Here, he sounds mad.
Hello? Yeah, I just got home. What can I do for you? Oh, yours is too, huh? Yeah, well, so is ours. Huh? It's what? What, coming from what? A tool shed? Hey, Safford's TV is acting up, too, and he thinks it's something your old man is doing in a tool shed. What? Yeah, I'll go have a look. Yeah, I know he's a nuisance. Don't tell me anything about it. He lives with us. We're at the last straw.
Where are you going?
Out to the tool shed.
Not in that frame of mind.
Get out of my way. All right, listen, it's all over. You're coming out of there, and I mean now. Come on, Dad. Come on, Irene and I, we want to talk to you. Come on. Dad, look, Mr. Sampson, darn it, this is my house and my tool shed. I'm sorry, but I'm coming in. Mr. Sampson, it... Dad. Dad!
I'm sorry I caused you so much worry, kids.
Well, when I saw you passed out on the floor of that tool shed, oh, man, I didn't know what had happened.
How do you feel now, Dad?
Just lots better, honey. Well, what happened was I didn't follow directions. That'll get anyone in hot water.
What directions? What do you mean?
No, just the little project I'm working on.
Look, what the heck are you working on down there anyway?
Milt.
No, you have a perfect right to know what I'm up to. It's nothing subversive, now don't worry. And I guess I've got your neighbor kind of spooked.
Mr. Safford? Oh, don't worry about him.
Look, Dad, are you playing around with some high voltage or something?
Hmm?
Well, the reason I happened to come out there was our TV began acting funny, and so did Safford's. He thought it might have had something to do with some experiment you were doing.
Say, excuse me, honey. Do you happen to have any turpentine around the house?
Turpentine?
Oh, you know, just ordinary painter's turpentine. Put it in a steamer and you breathe easier.
Milt, do we?
I don't know. Probably not. I can get some, though. There's a hardware that stays open late. You want some, Dad?
No, you don't have to make a special trip just for me.
Ah, forget it. I'm on my way. Turpentine. Maybe I can use it myself someday.
Poor Milt.
Dad, you never answered his questions. Any of them.
Hmm?
What are you doing in the tool shed?
I guess I've got to tell you.
Please.
Now, honey, I know you're a grown woman with your own daughter, and you're still my little girl. And I don't want you to lose respect for me.
Oh, Dad, I could never lose respect for you.
I don't expect you to understand what I've got out there, but I'll tell you.
All right, and I'll try to understand.
Irene, I never was a rich man. I never was able to give you and your mother very much. Because like everyone said, I was a dreamer. Just a dreamer. What I dreamed, I knew someday would come true. If I just had the time. Well, since your mother passed on and I've been living here with you and Milt, I've had the time.
The time to do what?
The time to make those dreams come true.
Dad, are you talking about all those flying saucer magazines and things you collected?
Now, don't go making hasty judgments.
Dad, we thought you got rid of all that trash.
Trash? Now, it looked like trash to you, maybe, and your mother, but I learned plenty from those stories. I learned enough to build me the thing I've been dreaming about for 15 years.
What do you mean?
Now, Irene, you listen to me. Now, Milt, he's a good man, but he has a closed mind. Now, you inherited some of my traits. You got my blood in your veins, so I know you can visualize what I'm going to tell you. Hmm? Now, honey, I have been in contact with people so far beyond us. We're just like ants.
In contact? But how?
Oh, I built the equipment myself. Oh, it was simple. Of course, none of our electronic people would believe it had worked because they've been on the wrong trail all along. But night after night, I've been out there talking to Venus.
Dad.
And they've been talking to me. Night after night, teaching me what to do, how to go about it.
Dad, listen.
No, you listen. Do you know what they taught me? They taught me secrets this world would give billions to find out. How to be young again, forever. Now, how's that for starters?
Dad, I think...
It's all so simple, Irene. The trick is so simple, we've overlooked it. And I'm right on the threshold now. And tomorrow night, honey, your old dad is going to meet the lovely lady who's been my teacher.
The lady?
Yeah, the Queen of Venus. The Queen of Venus is going to materialize in your tool shed. Oh, that's what the antennas are for. That's what the electrical interference was for. Testing. But by tomorrow night, I'll be ready.
Dad, your forehead is so hot. You have a fever.
No, it's just excitement, Irene. Now, who wouldn't be excited, you see? When she materializes, She's going to take me back with her.
I see. Well, then, you'll need to rest up. So just lay there and relax.
You're not laughing at me.
No, Dad, no. I'm not laughing. You just rest.
Thank you, Irene. I'm too excited to sleep, but I'll rest, like you say.
Well, I found him some turpentine.
Thank you, Milt.
Well, aren't you going to take it up to him?
It was sweet of you to go out and get it, but he won't really need it.
Oh, that's just great. Well, goose chase.
Oh, no. No, while you were gone, I found out all about what he's been doing in the tool shed.
You did? How'd you find that out?
He told me.
Well, so? Well, what has he been doing?
He's been getting ready to die.
Irene!
What are you talking about?
Just a second. Coming, Dad! Yes, Dad?
Irene, listen. Now that you know, would you do me a big favor? You know, the Queen of Venus just might come tonight. And I wouldn't want to miss her.
Of course you wouldn't.
Could you and Milt help me get back out to the tool shed?
Is that where you want to be?
Yes. I've been thinking it over. And that's where I want to be.
All right, we'll help.
Oh, and Irene.
Yes, Dad?
Don't tell Milt, will you? Or Joe Ellen. Somehow, I don't think they'd understand.
The names of tonight's players and a scene from next week's Crisis program after this word.
What word would that be?
Tonight, Crisis presented Arthur Kahn, Rosie Saya, Beryl Lambright, and Connie Barton in Grandpa and the Queen of Venus. Crisis is produced at Audio Recording Incorporated. This is your writer and producer, Jim French, thanking you for joining us tonight and inviting you to be here next week for Crisis.
Not to be completely obtuse, but I don't fully get it. And we're Daveless. Oh, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Blame Blog Talk completely. It looks like I am flying solo for the moment. I'm going to have to wing you guys a moral. So here goes. Eerie House Radio proudly presents a garrulous moral of the story as faked by Dale Kay. With apologies to Gar. Wait a second. It could be just in the nick of time. With apologies to Gar.
As it goes.
Hang on a second. Now I got to turn off the... how's that?
Much better. The echo's gone. And moral number two
there it is. For the immediate, I'm more concerned about losing my keys than losing my mind, is what Gar has.
Ooh, it's Godzilla approved. It must be good.
That is so weird. I even went off and used, okay, say, let me use my connection, make this my microphone. I went into Audacity Record. It was there. But no, not for Blog Talk Radio. It's not there. Yeah. Okay, I'm done.
There's gremlins in the works.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
Now, I don't know if that's the 1980s movie Gremlins or the gremlin that made Bugs Bunny fall out of the sky. I don't know.
Or the gremlins in the Twilight Zone episode or the gremlins.
Yeah.
Well, gremlins are all over the place.
Yep. Until they stopped making them. They were a cute little car.
Yeah, was that a gremlin? Yeah, it was. The little, and actually, it was pretty good on gas too, as I recall.
Yeah, well, for the day, for the day.
Did
they not have a sticker or something of a gremlin on the back of the, you know?
I don't know. I know somebody had a gremlin, and you know, one of the coolest gremlins were the ones with the blue jean gremlins.
The blue jean gremlins?
All the inside was made out of like the Levi's blue jean material. All the seats and everything.
Oh, like denim.
Yeah, denim. Yeah. Denim. That's what it was.
Carl,
that was pretty cool. I know I had a friend who had one, and one of me, she didn't like it. It was so light that when some coworker or something got mad at her, we go pick up her car and carry it and put it in a spot beyond where the curb was.
Yeah, I didn't have a gremlin, but equally is probably a death trap. I did have a Ford Pinto for a short time.
I had one for a short time. It was used. We got it used.
Mine was very used.
You wouldn't think that you could get a used gremlin or a Pinto. But yes, you can.
Oh, mine was so rusted, you could see this. It looked like a Flintstone mobile. You could see the street down below your feet in a couple places.
They did rust out pretty easy, didn't they?
Oh, yes, they did. All cars rusted in Ohio in the 70s, winters that we had. Terrible snows with lots of salt on the road. And that combination just tore the heck out of cars.
Now they hardly rust because they're all made of plastic, so plastic doesn't rust.
No, but you also have your car gets destroyed when you do get into a little fender bender. It's like the car's half totaled.
Well, they actually do make them that way so that if the car collapses, a lot of times the people don't get hurt or too seriously.
I feel safer with a big car. Steel. Detroit steel.
Yeah, you know, another car because they let that one collapse.
Hmm. But we're not going to collapse. We got one more Queen story. This one's more of a, it's more of a suspense.
That's why it's probably called suspense.
Yeah. Gee, suspense should have made a story called The Queen's Ring, but they did.
You know what? And they should have had someone like James Mason starring in it, you know?
Ooh, yeah.
I think that's who this one.
Yep.
It should have been.
You know, there's two of you in the studio right now.
Yeah, I know. Well, one of me doesn't count because it's not working.
All right. Well, if you don't mind, I'm going to dump him.
Dump just me. Dump me. There
you go. You've been dumped. It was getting crowded in the studio with 2 days and a day and a half.
There you go.
I don't know what the hell that means, but Queen's. Any actors of note for this one, Dave?
I was thinking it was James Mason in there.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll find out for sure. We might as well start this one. Originally broadcast
episode 532 comes to us December 28th. Of 1953.
Autolite and its 98,000 dealers bring you Mr. James Mason in tonight's presentation of Suspense. Tonight, Autolite presents the true story of Lord Essex's attempt to gain the throne of England from Queen Elizabeth. The dramatization is called The Queen's Ring. Our star, Mr. James Mason.
Hi, Hap. Buying a magazine, I see.
Yes, sir, Harlow.
Well, why not take this one?
No, thanks. Everyone to his own taste, you know, Harlow.
In buying magazines, yes, Hap. But in replacing electrical system parts for your car, definitely no.
Oh?
Well, for example, many leading makes of our finest cars have Autolite electrical systems as original equipment, right?
Right.
But if replacements are needed, do the owners of those Autolite-equipped cars insist on Autolite original service parts exactly the same as those specified by the car manufacturer?
Well, if they don't, they're sure taking a big chance with a big investment, Harlow.
They sure are, Hap. Because Autolite original service parts meet the electrical system specifications of the car manufacturers, and they know what's best for their cars. So, friends, insist on, and be sure you get, only Autolite original service parts for your Autolite-equipped car. See your car dealer or your dealer handling Autolite original service parts. And remember, from bumper to tail light, you're always right with Autolite.
And now, Autolite presents transcribed The Queen's Ring, starring Mr. James Mason, with Pamela Mason as Mary Howard, hoping once again to keep you in suspense.
And of what stuff are you, my Lord Essex? Soldier, warrior, hero?
And for this? You bid me sail from Spain to London, sweet Bess, because you're parched to tell me the things I am.
You're a fop, fop and dandy, lizard and golden fly that buzzes around pots of sweet.
The Spanish honey is wild, sweet Bess.
And you sat in banner tent and silken hose and sipped the honeycomb while...
While my men flooded your treasury with casks of Spanish gold.
While your men bleated and died for you, a trollop dumped your tune.
A girl of the sun, a girl of summer.
Young.
Young. But a darting little firefly compared to the flame of the autumn woman, you.
I am old. Is that what you say of me, Lord Essex?
Autumn woman, fired with 1,000 memories and 10,000 longings. Full woman at full season.
Buzz, 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 you golden fly.
You'd tear my wings from me, sweet Beth?
Yes.
And for this you summoned me from Cadiz?
Yes.
You are queen, and you can do with love what you will.
Yes.
Do it then, Bess. But gently, because your own winter and your own dying lies with me.
There are rumors about your plot against me. You want my throne.
What webs must I spin for your love, Bess girl? What trickeries, what young lover's magics? It's you I want, Bess girl, not your throne.
Traitor. Liar.
Lover.
Liar. And your lies fall sweet on the ears of an old woman.
Do they now, Bess? And what matter to me you call it false? Call it whatever you like, and let me...
Stand from me, Essex.
Bess. Golden Bess. Sweet.
Stand from me, Essex.
Queen's command, and women do also.
You go to Ireland, my Lord Essex.
What?
Rebellion flares again in Ireland, and because you are loyal to me, you will trumpet men to yourself, and you will quaff it and extinguish it, and bring me their unconditional surrender.
With blood again. And this time, perhaps mine.
Yes.
Would you have me dead?
If you are a traitor to me, sweet Robin, I would have you dead. Traitor with girls of summer.
I will bejewel you with Ireland as I have with Cadiz. Your leave, Majesty. Majesty.
Robin. Robin. Come to me. This ring. Take it from my finger. No, no, kiss not. Kiss not. Take it.
And what is its symbol, sweet queen?
Your life. Purchase back of your life when your queen is galled with Essex. For I know you'll trick me again.
Beth.
Silence. You will trick me, and it will be the last time. For I will send you to the gibbet, and you will die, except for the ring. Send it back to me then, and I will remember how with youth Tempest loved me, sweet Robin. And I will give you back your life. Oh, go.
Robin.
Hark, and how a soft voice beckons me. Why, 'tis Mary. Mary, whose shame is the pinken hues.
You were long with your queen, Robin.
Your queen too, Mary. Ah, winsome, handsome Mary.
Long with your queen and wrapping round her all the lying promises you weave so pretty.
The woman is queen, Mary. And the cavalier must...
Then tell me it's me you love, and not that balding crone.
When I'm back from Ireland, Mary, I'll tell you things that'll spin you and wind you in silk. And no longer Mary Howard, lady-in-waiting to Elizabeth, but Mary Howard. Will you serve England well, Mary, when Essex is on the throne?
But love me, Robin. Love me and not her. And I'll serve you however you fancy.
So prettily lipped. And lips on mine to bid the gentle adieu.
Robin.
Ireland will be the gentler for the memory of this mouth. Sweet adieu, Mary. Now consider it, Roger. Admit there's drama in it.
Oh, there is.
A city of Ireland cannoned to death because I ordered it. That's drama.
I said it, Essex.
I ordered it, and from a hill I watched it done, which was all of my promise to Queen Bess. Roger.
I want to hear no more of it.
I tell you the plan I have.
If Bess knew of it, she'd have you hung.
Now, there's the crux of it, I suppose. Which of us will have the other hung? Will Bess hang me, or will I hang her? She's afraid of me. My success is here in Ireland, and the crowds at home saying my name too much to hers. My Queen Bess frightened.
I call your plan treachery.
If I should wear the crown of England...
And not Elizabeth.
If I should wear it, and not Elizabeth.
Surely you'll die for these thoughts.
Which is the point in which you are incorrect. Not surely I will die for it. Perhaps I will die for it. This ring, Roger. Do not forget this ring. It ensures my life. I can mock her, or try to usurp her throne. This ring, it buys back my life. What horseman is that so close?
I will see. Halt! Halt or I kill you and horse, Irishman. Sword to slit your throat, Irishman. And tell me, what do you here at the tent of Essex?
To speak with him. To entreat him.
You are coward and you flee from battle to...
To speak with the Lord Essex and to parley with him.
Of what?
Of truce. Armistice.
The Irish blood flows thin. Dismount then, coward. Throw your sword to earth. I take you to your Lord Essex. Essex.
What brambled, filthy beast do you bring me, Roger?
He wants truce, he says.
Huh. What makes you so bold to speak of truce with your Lord Essex?
I am Sean of Lamore.
The Irish chief? I'm honored. You fought bold and brave, Sean.
Take to Queen Elizabeth my proffering of truce.
Why to Elizabeth?
She is your queen. In her name have you spilled our blood.
You want truce?
Yes.
And you will get it not from Elizabeth or from her parliament or her privy lords, but from me, from Essex.
Robin.
Does your stomach crawl with the thought of it, Roger?
You have no right to make truce. You are only...
I am only this. Lord Essex, who will continue battle until the last rebel Irishman lies in scarlet ribbon on the sweet green fields. I am only this. Lord Essex, who was commanded by Elizabeth to bring her unconditional surrender. I can give you truce, Sean. With honor, not unconditional surrender.
Truce? That's what I want.
But with only one condition. Allegiance to Essex. With your armies.
Allegiance to Essex with my armies.
You shall have truce, Sean. Bold, exquisite, brave, filthy, wild, and wise Sean.
Not loyal, but an end to bloodletting. And home soon, and disbanding of your armies, Essex.
Disband? Disband, Roger? Then how will I entreat for Elizabeth's throne?
A traitor's army? She will hang you high.
You forget, Roger. The ring, the ring. See, how it shines, how it glitters, as if alive. We shall see who will hang. In with you, my lord. How now, good Beth?
Up! Rise! Let me look at you. Traitor! Vile and treacherous man!
How good to feel again your fingers on my cheek.
The effrontery of you. To march an army on London. Ragged band that deserted at the first shot. What did you hope to gain? Applause, cheers.
Say what you mean, Beth. Tis your crown, I wish.
Tell me you are suddenly insane and I'll sign your death warrant with cheers.
Tis your crown, Beth. And yourself, what I want. These two and I would be master of England. And one without the other.
Let me not think of you as a man whose tongue was plucked from its roots because of vile lies.
Only truth, Beth. The crown. And my lady. And I shall have them.
Indeed. I touch your throat, Robin. Your dear throat. Where tomorrow the rope will be. Your dear throat and the cruel rope. Noon and the hangman's rope. Jailer, to the dungeon with him. Tomorrow he hangs.
Come, my lord.
Wait. Robin.
Good bear.
Have you nothing to say to me? To give to me?
Nothing.
Is bringing you Mr. James Mason in The Queen's Ring with Pamela Mason as Mary Howard and Jeanette Nolan as Elizabeth. Tonight's presentation in radio's outstanding theater of thrills, Suspense.
Say, Hap, if a reader asked for a sports magazine, would he let the man substitute detective stories?
Why, of course not, Harlow.
Yet many magazine readers will stand for substitute parts in the vital electrical system of their Autolite-equipped cars.
But why, Harlow?
Well, Hap, I guess it's because readers can easily see what's inside the cover of a magazine, but not what's under the hood of the car.
But it's simple, Harlow. Just insist on Autolite original service parts for your Autolite-equipped car, and then you can't go wrong.
Right, Hap. Autolite original service parts meet the exact specifications of leading car manufacturers who specify Autolite electrical systems as original equipment. That means they fit and work as a balanced team with the rest of the electrical system to give you the smoothest performance money can buy.
You don't take substitutes in magazines, so why take them for your car?
Yes, friends, be sure you get what's best for your Autolite-equipped car. See your car dealer or your dealer handling Autolite original service parts. And remember, from bumper to tail light, you're always right with Autolite.
Always right with Autolite. I wonder which Dave we have. We've had a total of three of them here tonight. And Gar joins us at last.
What's a magazine?
Oh, it's about 350 rounds, I think.
No. Oh. That kind of magazine. Okay, that still exists. Many of our other magazines are just kind of disappearing into the woodwork as they have thinner pages, more and more of ads, and less and less content.
Yep.
I'm at the ER, and there are no magazines here at all.
What? You're supposed to have three-year-old magazines here. What's their problem?
I know. Yeah, I got a U-line catalog just in case I need to order something.
What are you doing in an emergency? Does that bother anyone? Is it an emergency?
No, the waiting room's empty. I'm the only one. It's a slow night at DR.
Yeah. But I guess you're going to elaborate on your condition or what?
No, I'm alive. I'm not bleeding anywhere. You know, I'm just getting something checked out.
Okay.
I'm going to get some meds and I'm going to head home. Blah, blah.
I'll be over shortly.
Blah, blah.
Yeah, so.
You know, this is weird because I use the Google. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I forgot what I was going to say. Go ahead. No, go ahead.
This is weird. I use the. Am I still here? Hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, okay.
No, go ahead.
But I was using the Blog Talk Radio call-in line, and that's what was screwed up. So I used Google Voice, and here I am.
There you go.
Yeah, I called in on the hotline at work on my cell phone. I don't know.
Cool.
Hey, you should, you know, if you're there long enough, you should use their phone. Just go to the go over to the nurse's station, pick up their phone and dial.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's right.
I'm trying to be quiet, but it made me laugh.
you don't want to wake up the doctors. That would be terrible.
I don't want to wake up the dead. It is really quiet here.
It's a Friday night. That's amazing that it's quiet in the emergency room.
I know. Yeah.
Must live in a dull town.
I got here at 6. I've already been seen by the doctor. I'm waiting for meds. I'm out of here. Yeah. I'm like, wow.
Cool.
That's
and they're
going to
let you drive like that, huh?
I don't know how they let me drive normally, but yeah.
Yeah, me neither, but, you know.
There should be some sanctions against me.
You don't need that license they give to everybody else. What the heck?
Yeah.
Gar has a special car. It has a special horn, too. It sounds like this.
Yeah, I've got mine's at home. I don't have my boinger. I don't have
like
my
that.
Slide whistle. I didn't even bring my ukulele.
That's okay. We have a broken goat. Dave's goat is mad at him.
There you go.
No, it was mad because he wanted to scream and he couldn't scream because of Blog Talk blocked us.
Yep.
Yeah.
Radio.
I just figured I'd go ahead and call in, even though I'm at the ER. I mean, I'll bring a note. it is. There's
I don't know if you need a note if you're in the ER. Is that the rule, Dale? If you're in the ER, you don't need a note.
I don't know. They don't let me smoke in there.
They don't.
They
used to. No, in the 70s you could.
Mean.
And you could walk up to a doctor and bum a cigarette from them. You know. Wasn't it?
Yeah, there you go. It used to be like that, the good old days.
Yeah. Yeah, 1970, man. Hospitals are all about it. People walking down the hall smoking. That is so wrong.
So we were covering a few classic El Cheapy Queen movies like Queen of Blood and Queen of Outer Space with Zsa Zsa.
Yeah.
Zsa Gabor.
There was some weird one about a vampire. They saved this green. You used
that
the
was the queen of that was the queen of blood. That was Queen of Blood with Florence Pugh.
Yeah. That was weird.
Yeah.
Nobody made it out on that one.
made
it out.
A very, very young Dennis Hopper in that movie, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
yeah. You know, that just goes to prove, you know, be careful on a blind date.
Corey Ackerman might have been in one of those, I think.
Yeah. As proof positive, you got to watch out for blind dates, man. That's rough. In outer space.
In outer space.
In outer space. So you guys are going to have to continue reading off my morals because I got nothing here.
No gas in the tank, huh?
No, I'm in the emergency room. I don't have any. I didn't bring papers or anything. Sorry.
Maybe I'll whisper to you and then you can say it out loud, Gar.
You have to sum. You have to sum up for it over here.
Oh God. Dude, well, no. So the audience doesn't know. You could use sign language.
I could.
Yeah, well, or smoke signals.
Smoke signals, yeah.
Before we get into the conclusions, there was something about the space cadet, whatever the heck that was, the first one, where they were telling you about the walkie-talkies you could get. You could order for a dime from Missouri or something like that. And he said, they look just like the ones that the little kid uses. Well, it's radio. How would you know what it looks like?
Well, remember, they were on TV, too. They were on TV also.
Oh, okay.
And the same actors were on television that were on the radio, yeah.
I was like, wait, it's radio. How do we know what it looks like? Unless he describes it. you know? I was like, I don't know. Sure, it looks just like it. Sorry. Okay. It's radio.
And we got a lot of it.
Yeah. Get back to it, guys.
Yeah, we will. Get better, and I hope they put your spleen back in.
Yeah. They're going to put it back in about a half hour. I'll be all right.
Okay, good. Tough, man. You're a tough man. Calling in when you're where you are.
Calling in with spleen out. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
All right, take care of yourself.
Keep rolling, guys. All right. Okay.
Let's continue with the Queen's Ring from Suspense.
Mm-hmm.
And now, Autolite brings back to our Hollywood soundstage Mr. James Mason with Pamela Mason and Jeanette Nolan in Elliot Lewis's production of The Queen's Ring, a tale well calculated to keep you in suspense.
Essex, you sleep. Wake. Wake, Essex. Wake, man.
You shook a dreaming from my embrace, Roger. A lilt of a dream.
Cock crow in the dawn of your hanging, Robin, and you can sleep and dream the lilting things.
I will tell you this, Roger.
What?
If it's the last dreaming I will ever make, was a fair one was fashioned in my sleeping brain. Passing fair.
And at noon the hangman's rope will twist out of you all the fair and bonny things.
It's what I'm told. At noon.
You're a madman, Robin. To thirst for her throne, to purchase a rabble army out of London alleys and the derelict streets, and to march on her.
It's how the dice fell, Roger. I flung them against the heavens and I lost. Roger.
Yes?
At noon, when hangman wraps my throat with rope, at this noon, will you weep for me?
Yes.
And who else? Bess? Will sweet Bess weep for me? And Mary Howard? And the damsels of 100 grassy fields? Will they weep?
Madman.
How mad? How much am I mad? Shall I dance you a caper, Roger, and leer, and grimace?
You need not hang.
I need not? Then what is my need?
Send her the ring you wear. The ring Elizabeth gave you. It will buy you another life.
Send the ring?
Yes, yes.
Tell me, Roger.
What?
How did Bess sleep last night?
What are you...
Come now, Roger. You're at court, and the court whispers of the Queen's waking and the Queen's sleeping. How did Bess sleep last night?
It is said she sobbed the night.
And her sobbing made a great drifting moan through the castle vault?
Yes.
Then why send her back the ring?
For your life, Essex.
When I can hold it for so little cost, when I can have it for the price of an old woman's tears, for the price of her longing and her moaning for me, I have but to dry her weeping. And I do not pay out of my pride, or beggar-wise crawl to her and hold out a puny ring and ask the alms for my life. It is a sparkling ring, and worth 1,000 sapphire pounds. She will not have it back from me, and I will not hang.
Robin,
tell Elizabeth this, that at her age she cannot weather more tears, nor night sobbing. Else she becomes a hag and a crone, and sits on England like a bony desert bird, without Essex, without me. Go to. Tell her that, sweet friend.
Majesty?
Lady Mary?
Yes?
Arise. Come to me. Lean your face to me. I would touch it. Oh, the feel of silken youth to your cheek. The bright eyes, scarlet, fulsome lips. Now, put your hand to my face. Tell me what your fingers feel.
Your Highness.
Do it. Touch here the wrinkle. Here the hollow cheek and the dry, parched lips. What, Mary, you cannot? Why can you not?
Please, Your Highness, let me...
I'll tell you why you cannot. Because age and dying lie deep against my cheek. Here where the tears are flooded. Here where the lip was bit so bleeding.
For Lord Essex?
For Robin. My Lord Essex.
And yet in a space of hours you will hang him?
He could fall from his pride and live.
How, Majesty? He has entreated you not. He has pleaded not for his life. How will Robin live?
He has but to send me the ring I gave him.
What ring?
Mine that he wears. I told him he could purchase back his life with it and forgiveness. No matter what dying I commanded him.
And he has not sent it to you?
No.
Then perhaps he loves you not as well as he has whispered you, and prefers this dying. And if it's so, then you're well rid of Essex.
Essex does love me. Go to him, Mary. Go to him and beg of him the ring.
Yes, Highness.
And Lady Mary.
Yes.
Say it is I who beg. Say not Elizabeth, not your queen. Say woman begs. Say anguished woman begs. And he will give it you. And you will see how well Robin does love me. Go to him.
The time is soon for his leading out, and he is dying, my Lady Mary. But little more than an hour. In an hour.
Nor do I need reminding of it, jailer. Robin. Oh, Robin, love. Robin. Robin.
Sweet Mary, sweet girl. Mary of the sweet face and tender glance. How will you miss me?
How?
With cruel tears that burn small furrows in your cheek? Don't cry for me. Only smile. Smile always when you think of me, so that when we shall meet again, your face...
What manner of man are you, Robin?
I had a speech for you. Let me finish it.
It's what I mean. In an hour you die, and still you act the lover.
Don't mock me before I die, little girl. Let me have my play.
Listen, I saw the queen.
And how is she? Magnificent shamble of a woman that she is. How is Bess? How is Elizabeth, my queen?
Did you love her, Robin?
Loved her?
Hated her. Admired her, cursed her, prayed for her, that she'd live, that she'd die, that she'd suffer, that she'd...
All the things a man could feel for a woman.
You said you saw her. What of it?
She said she'd given you a ring.
Mary.
Don't gentle me, Robin, nor touch me now.
But if you want the truth, I love only you.
On your word?
On my heart, Mary, that heaven is only you.
Then listen. She said she gave you a ring and a promise.
Whatever happened, she would forgive me, she said.
Return the ring to her, Robin.
No matter what, she said. Such as leading an army upon her for her crown. Coward army.
That ring you wear?
The very ring.
Let me give it to her.
I do not think so.
She prays for it, Robin. She sent me for it.
Oh?
Let me bring it to her and she will release you and you will not die and there will be no more.
No more what?
There will be peace then. No more fighting and...
And no more what?
Oh, the ring, dear Robin.
Mary.
The ring.
Yes, yes, here. Here, take it. Mary.
Yes.
You're right. Suddenly, this thought of dying, there's no savor in it. I could rule England with her as man and wife. Take the ring. Go to her. Tell her she's won. Jailer! Jailer, open! Quickly, Mary. Go to her. Give her the ring. Go.
Enter. Enter.
My queen?
Quickly, come.
Well.
Well.
He said.
The ring. Did he send the ring?
No.
What?
He laughed. He said he has beaten you.
Oh, Robin. Robin.
He said...
What?
There I say
it. Say it! Say it, else you will climb the gibbet with him.
That you were a crone.
Oh, he loved me.
But if he loved you, he would have sent back the ring. If he valued your forgiveness, he would have given me the ring for you. But he did not.
Yes.
Yes. My queen, come to the window. Let me help you to the window to see.
Oh.
He mounts the scaffold.
Oof.
And the top of it, the trap. Crone, he said you were. But what must he think of you now? Forsaken.
What?
Forsaken. You denied him his life.
But the ring he would not return it. His pride has killed him.
See, now they place the rope down there. And the man you owned, whose body you owned and sold... Old woman, to deny it to me, who he truly loved.
What are you saying?
Who he truly loved. And he must die for it. For that is the only way I can triumph over both of you.
You?
Yes. Alive, he would run to you. And you would lay your fingers against his hair and swoon inside of you and give to him what he desired.
Yes. Even to the throne, if he wanted it.
I lied to you, my queen. He asked me to give you this.
Presented by Autolite, tonight's star, Mr. James Mason.
This is Harlow Wilcox speaking for Autolite, the world's largest independent manufacturer of automotive electrical equipment. In 28 plants from coast to coast, Autolite makes over 400 products for cars, trucks, tractors, planes, boats, and industry. These products include bumpers, die castings, industrial thermometers, and batteries such as the famous Autolite Stay Full, ignition-engineered Autolite spark plugs, both standard and resistor types, voltage regulators, wire and battery cable, Autolite bullseye sealed beam units, and Autolite original service parts for all Autolite electrical systems. Autolite is proud to serve the greatest names in the industry. So, from bumper to tail light, you're always right with Autolite.
Next week, one of the most terrifying half hours ever presented on Suspense. A young couple and a mad woman, and what happened to them on a country road. Our star, Mr. Frank Lovejoy. That's next week on Suspense. Suspense is transcribed and directed by Elliot Lewis, with music composed by Lucian Morawick and conducted by Lud Gluskin. The Queen's Ring was adapted for Suspense by Morton Fine and David Friedkin. In tonight's story, Jeanette Nolan was heard as Elizabeth and Pamela Mason as Mary. Featured in the cast were Joseph Kearns and Ben Wright.
James Mason may currently be seen starring in the United Artists picture, The Man Between.
And remember, next week, Mr. Frank Lovejoy in On a Country Road.
Come in.
By Autolite original service parts, Autolite standard or resistor type spark plugs, and Autolite stay full batteries at your neighborhood
Great
Autolite dealer. Switch to Autolite. Good night.
Battery called me?
This is
like
the CBS Radio Network.
Suspense March. Courtesy of Bernard Herrmann. All right, that wraps up our Thoid feature. And who joins us? Straight from the hospital. Unless he left his cell phone in his pocket and left it on. I don't know.
He has it on mute. Or it could be Blog Talk Radio.
I had it on mute.
Well, it's mute.
It is I, Gargoyle.
Or what's left of him.
Could I get my spleen back? I really would like my spleen back.
You still have another 20 minutes, sir. There's another 20-minute wait on spleens.
All right. Mm. And now, presenting Dave doing his best Gar impression.
Yes, please do.
Erie House Radio oddly presents Garless. Moral of the story, but Gar's here. I don't care.
The silver tongue isn't worth much if it stops working. Blah, blah.
Sorry. I couldn't resist.
All I could remember was the silver tongue. I couldn't remember the rest that I wrote. I was like, what did I write?
I don't know. It sounds naughty.
I was going to whisper it to you, but you weren't too fond of that idea, you know?
Yeah.
And you could give it, but you got to do what you got to do,
like,
I guess.
It's like being in a library, you know, and taking a call here in the ER.
Okay, so I looked it up, and Forey Ackerman was in Queen of Blood as Faraday's aide. It was only his third motion picture credit, the first being in 1948 in something called The Winner's Circle. Don't know what that is. But he was also, I remember him in The Time Travelers from 1964. I did not know he was an uncredited voice in the movie Equinox from 1970.
Okay.
That's a really bad movie.
Yes, it is.
That's a horrible movie. Oh, God.
I love it. It's so horrible, I love it. At least it had stop-motion animation. At least it had stop-motion animation.
It does.
He was in Dracula v. Frankenstein. Also, Schlock as Man in Cinema. Also a bookstore customer in The Howling. Remember The Howling?
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know he had so many credits. Wow.
Oh, yeah. He was the man in the movie theater in Michael Jackson's Thriller.
Oh, wow.
Oh.
Yeah. Blanket bloodbath.
They could add to that and say dark and theater. And I'm just saying, like, shadowy figure in the background. Yeah.
There's a lot of credits. Yep. Too many to get into now.
Too many, yeah. Is there a nickel in the jukebox time, or?
Yeah, I think we got time for a quick song there, Dale.
Why not? We got it. We'll sneak in a quickie here. Hold on, I got a coin.
Yeah, 4.5 minutes. There we go.
About to do it.
I thought it would do any one of us no harm at all to follow 365 days a year. Out of your face with sunshine. Cliff? Out of your face with sunshine.
I forgot what's happening.
On a great big smile. Make up your eyes with laughter. Folks will be laughing with you in a little while. Whistle a tune of gladness, 'cause gloom never was in sight. The future's brighter when hearts are lighter. So smile, smile, smile. Whistle a tune of gladness, 'cause gloom never was in style. The future's brighter when hearts are lighter. So smile, smile, smile.
Smile, smile, smile. There you go. That was a little fun.
Hey, Gar. Gar, we want to thank you for calling in from the city morgue tonight.
Yeah, yeah, it's dead here.
The pre-morgue, did you say? Oh, my God.
To the city morgue, yeah.
Oh, all right.
Yeah.
Yeah. You just never know with Gar. Tomorrow night, Queen of the Cats from CBS Radio Mystery Theater. We'll be here. Maybe, Gar, if you're hopefully up to it tomorrow night at 8 o'clock, what happened?
Yeah. Yeah, the Horrible Horror starring Gar the Ghoul on twitch.tv. whatever it is. I don't remember.
Yeah, that'll be right after we're done here. And my clock is way off compared to what the British lady just whispered in my ear. So I'm doing a little bit of math here so we can wrap this up in a semi-logical manner.
What,
again,
spoiler reputation?
No. Just a change of pace. Good old Bob, Fox Bane Fox, thanks for dropping in live. Hope you didn't have as much trouble as David's phones have today for some reason.
Thanks, Blog Talk.
Thanks a lot. I'm just going to do more memes about him. I'm going to do more. I'm a meanie that does memes. Memes.
More memes.
Yep. So
I
we'll
know what
tomorrow
you mean
night.
By that, Dale.
Yep.
Bye.
See you tomorrow night, 6:30 Eastern. Ta ta ta.
The lights are growing dim.
My time is
There's gone. No one left but me and him.
Parts of him.
When next we meet in Frankenstone, don't come alone.
Okay.
Can you
I'm
dig it?
Digging it.
Pretty good math.
I can dig it. I dig it.
Good night. There, I'm about a second or two off. Not too bad. Although
not
my timer still says there's 24 seconds left of the show, and there's not.
They lied.
Mine says 30, and I gave up on the other one because it wouldn't let me talk to them anymore on their Blog Talk Direct Connect. Thanks, Blog Talk.
You doity. Well, Direct Connect worked good for me today, finally. But I am using a USB headset.
I have never seen the ER this empty. I'm the only one here.
That just kills me on a Friday night.
Yeah, I took a picture of it. I'll send you a picture. It's empty.
Wait a minute. It's Friday night and you're still there at the ER? That's not good.
I'm waiting for some pills and I'm out the door.
He's waiting on a blind date.
Or maybe one with a broken arm.
It could be.
Broken arm, broken, no spleen. Yeah, it's going to be great. Yeah.
There you go. Or a social disease. But, you know.
Yeah. yeah. It's just, I'm just waiting for some antibiotics and I'm out the door. But I'm waiting for the pills. Pills.
Yeah.
So all goes well. What can we expect for Horrible Horror tomorrow night? Any sneak previews here in the archives?
I can't remember the name of the feature that I'm going to show, but it's at the bottom of a movie poster that I created 2 weeks ago, and now I can't remember what that was.
Well, it'll be new all over again.
It will. Yeah, it's going to be new to me. I'm going to be, It's a really bad film. It's not as bad as that one that you mentioned. Yeah.
Queen of Blood? Oh, I liked Queen of Blood.
Where do I go? Hey, okay, I'll talk to you guys a little bit.
All
right. Where do I go?
Good luck.
All right.
Okay. There's that. And there's this.
Ladies and gentlemen, Gar, live at the pharmacy.
Yeah. Okay. There you go.
Wait a minute. You got to put it where? How do you have to take those special pills? Here, bend over. I'll give you the first one.
I think he forgot to turn his phone off, yeah. I hear him him walking down the hall. Oh, there he is.
Yeah, I'm marching down the hall, yeah. Don't know where we're going, but we're marching down the hall.
Better keep your phone on just for your own protection, Gar.
Yeah. Take video and store it somewhere.
Pretoria. Not a boot camp, but Pretoria.
Take video for evidence.
Yeah. So after hours, the
operating floor is around
7:30, and over here, they're opening up at least by 7:30, and then
give it into the chamber. All right.
Marching.
We have our own radio drama going on.
Oh, I know. Welcome to Erie House Hospital.
Yes. Yeah.
Is Dr. Giuseppe in this episode? I don't know.
Dr. Bronson, room 17, Dr. Bronson.
Calling Dr. Howard. Calling Dr. Fine. Calling Dr. Howard.
Yeah.
Then I would worry. Then I would worry.
There's a window. Oh, okay. Yep. See it?
I don't know.
There's a window. Right. You can't fly.
Gar only thinks he's leaving. I've gotten the false release. In fact, when I had my heart attack, they gave me all these, you know, they took all my vitals and this and that, and they're just about to send me home. They were waiting for blood work. Oh, no, you had a heart attack. You can't go anywhere. I go, yes, I am. I'm going to drive to the other hospital for the, you know, because they wanted to. Right away, they sent me up to another hospital. And I'm like, no, wait, now, hold on. You can't be driving, Dale, okay? You just had a heart attack. I'm like, really? I had no idea.
They won't let you drive?
Well, I'll let my wife drive, and I'm like, I'm ready to pull all the little IVs out they had from all the other tests. And he said, no, you got to go to the, let's see, I was at one in Oberlin, and they sent me up to one in Lorain.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're like, we're going to ram a couple stents up your heart today. Oh, how fun.
August 20, 1964.
Okay.
All right.
Can you just
find
the bottom for me?
Or
the
X-ray?
Okay.
This is a dramatic show tonight.
It is a dramatic show.
Okay. Thanks so much. Thank you. All right. Thank you.
Live on House Radio.
I just need to figure out how to get out of here.
Dave, we shouldn't laugh. Like, someday this is going to be you and me doing the show from the hospital.
Yeah.
Like Mel Blanc after his accident.
Yeah.
He did half of the Flintstones on his back in the hospital, I think.
I know. They accommodated the heck out of that guy just for his voice. It was amazing.
Well, he had built such a reputation for himself. He was amazing.
Oh, man.
But,
so,
they did.
Pills and I'm out of here. I don't even know how I got here.
I bet I could do this from the hospital. All I need is a laptop to sign in.
Wow.
So we're going to follow you home tonight, Gar.
Yeah.
Okay. I guess so. Okay, so I made it out of the hospital.
I do anyway.
I'm walking down the sidewalk. I got my keys. So,
and he's getting mugged.
Oh, wait. No, please don't take my antibiotics.
Why don't you guard
that
Bush is moving over there?
Huh? That
Bush is moving over there, Gar. Be careful.
Yeah.
Speaking of antibiotics, you never hear of penicillin anymore. Nobody uses penicillin.
I'm actually allergic to penicillin. And it freaked me out because the doctor said, I'm going to give you some penicillin. I was like, I think I'm allergic. And we checked, and he's like, oh, you are.
Oh, God.
And he said, do you know what kind you are? And I was like, no.
Nobody does.
So,
but.
Well, they've got my records here. So I was like, you can look it up, right? And they're like, maybe. I was like, what?
We know what kind you are.
Yeah, well, there are apparently different families of penicillin. I had no idea.
No.
And me being noodle brain, I can't remember what they gave me. I'm like, I don't know. it was a happy yellow pill. Does that
help? the good stuff, man.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, so... Yeah, no big deal. I needed to get this taken care of, but it just happened to interfere with the ear house. But I tuned in. I was listening while I was in the waiting room.
That's cool.
Before I called in.
What our listeners don't know is that you're going home on a unicycle from the emergency room.
It is a unicycle. It's used and it doesn't have a seat.
Oh, ow.
No wonder your voice gets too high sometimes, yes.
Yeah.
That's popular in some neighborhoods. Oh, jeez.
Yeah. My voice died this morning.
Clown neighborhoods, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, jeez.
Early this morning, my voice died. I called up Dave and I was like, Dave, my voice is gone.
And I said, Who are you?
Yeah.
I just
and I couldn't
tell you
answer.
I can't talk.
I was like, it's me, Gar. Who? Gar.
What are you doing with Gar's phone?
Yeah.
Gar's not here.
Gar's not here. Gar can barely talk.
I called to tell you I can't speak. What?
Oh, man. What an adventure.
Life is an adventure.
Life is an adventure.
Yep.
Yeah, but sometimes crocodile eats you in an adventure.
All right, guys. Well, I'm going to be driving, so I'm going to let
you
go.
Be safe. We might as well bring out Mrs. Calabash.
Oh, there
you
go.
Might as well. Whoever she is.
Take care, guys. Good night. Blah, blah.
Good night.
Take
care.
Good night.
Good night. Good night. Good night. Good night. All right.
Good
night. Mr. Dranny.
Good night. Good night.
Good night.
There he is.
Good night.
It's time to say good night.
Here he is.
What more is this safe but good night?
Pickle?
Day. We've had a few laughs, and it's time for toodaloo.
Toodles.
We go up, we the same, and we could think it do.
Good
night. A good way to end it.
Good night, folks, and good night, Mrs. Calabash, wherever.
Good night, Queens.
Do you mind turning off the radio?